Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich in Christ. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Praying that your day is blessed. I'm broadcasting today from our new home in Visalia, California. And I'm sitting in my car because there's really no room for me in the house. We went from 3,600 square feet to 1,100 square feet. And we're here helping my stepdaughter, who's dealing with some stuff that she needs help with as far as her kids are concerned. Our two grandkids are 2 and 8 years old, William and Marine. And so I'm sitting in my van, and I'm looking at all of our stuff that's stuffed underneath our carport that I just unloaded from a U-Haul the other day. This show that you're listening to is like no other show you're going to hear in Christian broadcasting, whether it's media or print. I don't talk about the status quo of what most Christian shows are about as far as what God is doing for us or what we can do for God. This show is all about your real life in Christ. And as a believer who longs for everything that God has for you, your one desire should be what Paul's desire was, which was to know him in a way that supersedes everything else in your life. And that is to know him as not only your Savior, but as Lord of your life. And in fact, you cannot say no to God and see him as Lord of your life. It's an impossibility. And so I talk about the everyday issues that people deal with and how they go about dealing with them as believers, and utilizing their relationship with God in a real way. Not just religious law or religious doings, but knowing God. The Bible talks about knowing God. Paul says to know him and the power of his resurrection, to know him in that way. And so how do you go about doing that? And how do you do that when everything around you seems to be caving in on top of you? The one thing that, you know, is foundational for the believer is to know that God loves them exactly as they are and where they are. And unfortunately, we don't hear that in 99.99% of the churches today. Because the message that the church is bringing is a God loves you if message, or God loves you when, or God will help you and bless you, with conditional strings attached. And in fact, that's not the real gospel. The real gospel is us coming to him, drawn by him, because we can't even go to him unless we're drawn by him, and releasing our life to him as we are at any given time. And knowing that no matter what we're going through or what it is we're dealing with, whether it be financially, relationally, or any other way, that God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So the foundation of the believer's life has to be to know God loves them without any conditions. And the second thing is to know that God will never abandon us. Never. I went through a period of 7 years where I walked away from everything Christian, everything God, never opened the Bible, stopped going to church. the little that I was growing at that time. And it was during that time when God showed up and revealed to me that His grace is truly without any strings attached. It was during that time when I shaken my fist in His face that He was loving me exactly as I was. Because if Jesus died for us, you know, the Bible talks about the fact that, you know, Jesus died. And Jesus died, you know, for us so that we could have that place in eternity once we do finally leave this planet. But there's another part to that. The blood is for God. When God sees the blood, He sees that, you know, He's pleased. He's pleased because He knows that, you know, we're in Christ. But there's another side to this, and it's the cross. And that is the message that is all but ignored or neglected or avoided today by the so-called Christian leadership. Because when you start proclaiming the message of the cross, the first place the cross is going to work its work is in the life of the one who is proclaiming it. And what God does is He rolls death in on everything that you call life. So whatever your life is, Christian or otherwise, that sees anything but Christ as your life, God is going to deal with that. And it doesn't matter if it's your spouse, your children, your job, your ambition, your reputation, your identity. It does not matter to God what it is. You know, there are no other gods before Him. I wrote an article yesterday having to do with everything that I've gone through in the last several weeks as far as packing up our house in Texas and loading it into this U-Haul truck, two U-Hauls actually, one U-Haul that I hauled here and the other one that I brought to storage. And thank God I didn't have to do it myself. I had help from three wonderful friends, Jan and C.D. Harrington and William Baldwin, and I'm thanking God for them right now. But all that move entailed, and then packing it up in a U-Haul and making a place for our animals inside of our minivan, basically kennel them inside of the minivan, and then bringing them all the way out here to Visalia, California. And I'm sitting here looking at all my stuff and just seeing the futility of what it's all about. And then I referenced the story of the rich young ruler in my article and how, you know, he was so pious in his conversation with Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, the things that you need to do. And he comes back and he says, all this I've done since I was a young boy. And Jesus didn't rebuke him or say, you know, or call him a liar or anything else. He just got to the core of this man's heart. And that's exactly what the Spirit of God does. If you want to know if the Spirit of God is working, the Spirit of God is always touching what's at the center of our life. The Spirit of God is always directing us to what it is that revolves, our life revolves around. And so Jesus cut right to the quick of this man, and he said, well, one thing you do lack, and that is sell everything you have, and then give all that to the poor. And it says that the young man went away sad because he owned much property. And that is really Jesus talking about what he's proclaiming in Matthew 6, 22 to 24. Because in that passage, that powerful passage that has been misinterpreted down through the hundreds, thousands of years to mean something other than what it means, Jesus is saying that if you're serving and worshiping something else, and you're calling that light, it's not light as long as there is an and attached to your relationship with God. God and my career. God and my family. God and my ministry. Remember the verse in one of the Gospels, I can't remember where it is, but Jesus is teaching and somebody interrupts him and says, your mother and your brother are outside. And Jesus says, who is my mother and brother? He didn't give any regard at all to his blood relatives in that relationship. The only relationship he saw was the people who are in Christ. That's who he said was his mother and his brother and his sister and whoever else we consider close relationships. And so in Matthew 6, 22 to 24, Jesus is getting to the heart and the core of where we live. And he's saying, if your eye is single, meaning you see only me in all things, you don't give Satan power for evil and me credit for what's good. Everything, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And so he says, if your eye is single, if you see only me in all things, then you're full of light. But if your eye is evil, meaning not the evil having to do with behavior, not the evil having to do with performance, but evil meaning more than one. And I can prove that if you just continue to look at the passage. If your eye is evil, it's full of darkness. And if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, that's not a question in that verse. It is a statement. Jesus is stating the fact that if you think what you're serving is light, when you continue to serve me and whatever you want to fill in the blank with, he says you're sadly mistaken. He says that is what I see as darkness. And all that matters is what I see. That's basically what he's saying. And then to prove my point that this evil that he's talking about is an evil that is not what we believe it is. It is not behavior or performance based. He goes on to say, no man can serve two masters. There's two. There you go back to evil, and there's the definition of evil right there. Two masters. No one can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other, or cling to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and. And the church has taken it because it references Mammon, the god of the deity of avarice, the deity of self for self-love is basically what it is. And the church has taken that and made that a money verse, where you can't love God in money. Well, you can't love God in anything else. You can't love God and love something else, because The Bible says we have been given everything pertaining to life and godliness in Christ. And what part of everything is something else? So what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6:22-24 is the same exact thing that he's saying to the rich young ruler. As far as this man loving God and loving his possessions, he could not do it. He had to choose one. It's an impossibility for humanity to serve and worship two gods at one time. And the rich young ruler is a perfect example of that. And another perfect example of that is the prodigal son. The prodigal son is a perfect picture of every man and every woman. And in fact, every biblical character, right down to Abraham, is a perfect picture of the believer in Christ at one time or another. Rahab the prostitute, the woman who pours the perfume over Jesus' feet, the woman at the well, Peter, I mean, name them. Just go through all of them, and every one of them are a picture of who we are in Christ at one time or another. And God knows this, and that's why he knew we needed help. He knew we couldn't save ourselves. Over in Genesis 3:5, where it all started, is where duality became reality to humanity. Before that, there was no choice. Man walked with God and saw only God in all things. There was no other reason for him to see anything else. He didn't see himself as naked, because all he saw was God. It was only after, when his eyes were open to good and evil, that he saw himself naked. And good and evil is two. It's not about good, and it's not about evil. It's about separation. And choice was birthed at the foot of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you read over in James 3:16, you'll see that the result of choice is confusion and every evil work. There's that word again, evil. Evil meaning double-minded. Read James. I used to hate the book of James. James, to me, I thought was the ultimate legalist. Because that's the way James was proclaimed. That's the way James was taught. And James is a man who is passionate about exposing duality in every form. He's the one that says you cannot, blessing and cursing cannot come out of the same place. It's not about behavior performance. It's about who you contain. And if Christ is your life, then all that comes out of you is blessing, no matter how it looks. Because there can't be a mixture of two. The well can't be polluted water and fresh water. He's saying, can polluted water and fresh water flow from the same place? The answer is no, it cannot. Either it's a polluted well or it's a fresh well. And you're fresh because of God. You're single-eyed because of God. You see only him in all things because of him. It's of God that you're in Christ Jesus. And this not of yourself. It's the gift of God. And so when I look at my stuff, sitting here looking at my stuff, I'm sitting here and seeing the futility of serving whatever it is that causes me to gather more stuff. And to collect more stuff, that's what Jesus was saying to the rich young ruler. He goes, when is enough enough? And so, when is enough enough? So what is it you're going through today? Are you striving for the brass ring, for the corporate brass ring? Are you striving for the brass ring in ministry, whatever that is, whatever your definition of that is? Are you looking to something down the road to find life? Some event, some second coming, or some rapture, or the next conference, the next Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer conference? Are you seeing God right here and right now in the midst of the furnace? Are you like the three Hebrew children who were thrown into the furnace that was turned up seven times hotter to the point the guards were consumed when they threw them in? And they saw one like the Son of Man standing in the furnace with them? Or are you seeing your trials and your tribulations and your situations as something separate from what God is doing in and through you today? Because that's exactly what God is doing in and through you with your trials. The trial of your faith is producing something bigger than you. Because you were not placed here to suck up the atmosphere and eat steak and collect stuff. You were not placed here to thrive in earthly relationships apart from Christ as the center of your life. You were placed here as the vessel, the temple, the branch, the container of God for Him to live His life in and through, to will and to do of His good pleasure, to take you to the cross and to show you life and life more abundant like you've never seen it before. But until that can happen, you have to understand the foundation of your life is God will never abandon you, and God loves you exactly as you are. And when you grasp that foundational truth, you can step out into the freedom of who you are in your own skin, no longer concerned about pleasing men, which is why you're not hearing this message in the church today. Because the bought and paid for pastors are not serving only God only now. They're serving God and their congregation, God and their aspirations and their ambition, God and the board of elders. And so even if they wanted to, they cannot step out into the freedom of who they are in Christ. This show, what you're hearing today, is not canned or planned. This show is the spontaneous life of Jesus Christ in me, speaking to the Spirit who is living in and through you, and confirming to you that your life is exactly as it's supposed to be. And in fact, it couldn't be anything other than what it is, or God would have you in another place. It's as simple as that. A wonderful passage in Philippians that has never been taught that I've heard, except by what I've written and what I've shared, is tucked away in Philippians chapter 3. And it's Paul saying this: all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, differently than who? Than God, than the Spirit who is at work within you, than where He's directing you and where He's leading you. If at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear. There's your promise that you never have to again think of a separate will of God. There is no separate will of God. You don't have to chase after a will of God. You are the will of God.
You're here by his doing as the will of God. He'll make it clear. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. So what have you attained today? Are you losing your job? Are you dealing with broken relationships, strained relationships? Is something else going on in your life? Something that you think God doesn't know about? All God wants you to do is release it to him right now. Know you're loved perfectly by him, and he couldn't love you anymore, and he is at work. He is at work showing not only you, but those around you that he is at work. And so the trial that you're dealing with is really God's way of showing you he loves you. He's taking you beyond you so that you can understand your purpose is for others and not for yourself. He wants to live his life in and through you, as you. And so all he wants you to do is release your life. There's no penance you have to pay. There's no seven steps to spiritual whatever. It's just releasing your life right here, right now, where you're at, whatever state you're in, and realizing that God loves you exactly the way you are. And in fact, he could not love you any more than he loves you right now. Because if that was true, he wouldn't be God. God is all about other love. Jesus never took one preserving thought for himself. Not one. Ever. And he is the one who lives in and through you. And if there's any conflict at all going on inside, it's only because you don't know who you are and you don't know who he is. That is it. Perception and identity. You don't perceive that the one who loves you and will never leave you or forsake you is the one who wants to live his life in and through you. You don't know your identity is only Christ. That's where the conflict comes from. There's no other conflict. There's no enemy that we have to fear. Satan was stripped of everything and made a public spectacle of. And he has no power. He was stripped of the keys of death and hell, and he has no power to do anything. The only power he has is the power of the lie. And that is to cause you to believe what he's saying is true. And when you believe the lie is the truth, as though it's the truth. Father, I just thank you and praise you for this opportunity today, God. Thank you, Father, that your word is truth and every man is a liar. I'm asking, God, that you unstop the ears of the listeners today and you open their eyes so they can see that they're loved perfectly, God. And they couldn't be loved any more than they are right now. It has nothing to do with what they're going through. It has nothing to do with what is around them. It's the unseen. It's the unseen things, God, that you're causing them and drawing them to focus on. So open their eyes and unstop their ears and bless them, God. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I'm giving away a free devotional if you private message me on Facebook, Rich Novak. I'll send it to you free and postage paid. That's what our ministry does. And so have a happy Thanksgiving today. And until next week, God bless.